All right, matinee show, matinee episode 77.
Yeah.
So we got two Netflixes and one Shudder this week. I
yeah.
just noticed, speaking of movies like new ones, I just noticed that I guess more movie companies have jumped on the bandwagon because I just got an email from AMC Theaters saying that apparently through their app, I didn't really like look into it, but a bunch of the movies that had either still been playing in the theaters or had just left the theaters were now available for rent or purchase. Like you could stream them.
Somehow through the app, yeah.
Yeah, like Birds of Prey was in there, The Grudge was in there. Like pretty much everything that's come out in the last couple months was like available now. So
Okay.
that does seem like the smartest
Now
thing
they
they could
still
do.
count it like only three movies
I'm
if you're
not
on the AMC?
sure because I also got an email saying that they weren't going to charge people.
Yeah, that's weird. That it
So
was
that what you're well, I guess you can just pay for them individually,
right.
like for the movies if you'd wanted. Because I think that they didn't want to charge people for the Stubs
Right.
A-List program if you couldn't actually go to the theater.
Right.
So I'm thinking this is like a separate thing where they're just saying, hey, the movies that were in the theater are available
Yeah.
if you want to pay
They're not
like
gonna
and
like that.
watch
They're not gonna
them.
like that. What's gonna happen is AMC's gonna become Netflix.
Maybe. Well,
That's what's gonna become.
everything's becoming
Everything's
Netflix.
become
That's why,
Netflix.
like, everybody has their own
I
streaming
mentioned it
service now.
earlier. A lot of people don't know this, but here in Florida, we got some fucking rich people, mansions and shit. In those mansions are theaters that look like real theaters that could sit 100 people. They might have that on their in their grounds. They might have a Starbucks on their house, on their grounds, like a damn compound and shit. It's probably mostly closed, but when they have parties, that shit opens up.
Yeah.
Anyway, for a long time, they've had the ability to watch movies in their homes streaming the same way they stream in theaters. Did you know
Yeah, well, I
that?
mean, once everything went digital, it
Yeah.
became much easier
For a long time, they
because
could
it's not
just
like you have like the one reel of.
They got millionaires and billionaires that can leave their house and go to an AMC theater that's right there in their house or right there on their grounds. Nobody works in it,
Yeah.
but it's got kiosks and fucking shit like that. It's even got popcorn machines, and then go in there and watch a movie on the day that it comes out in a private theater. That service has existed for a long time.
Yeah,
How
like I
much you
said,
want to
probably
bet?
since it all went digital.
Yeah, since it all went digital. How much you want to bet? Everyone's going to get that now, to where if you subscribe to AMC, you get to watch 20 of them a month. You don't have to go to the theater. You can just fucking watch them over
It
here.
might, yeah.
That's the way it's going to go, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
And then if you want to see extra ones, you can just buy them
Yeah.
right there off the app on the day that they release.
Yeah.
Actually, I heard the rich people were actually the real rich people were seeing them a little bit early.
Because of course they are.
Yeah, that they could see them like a week
They
early.
get all the good
Yeah.
shit.
So,
So yeah. So, but we did find three new movies slash series that we're going to talk about. So the first one I want to talk about is on Netflix. This is a 2020 movie called Lost Girls. Now this is actually based on a book by Robert Colker, and this is a slightly fictionalized retelling, sort of the Long Island serial killer case, which we did a show about not too long ago.
Yeah.
So if you know anything about that case, you'll kind of know where this is going. It's interesting because I was watching like some other movie review guys that I like, and they had reviewed it, and a lot of them didn't know of the details of the case. This, which is pretty creepy to me, because Long Island serial killer. It's like, what is it, like 10 or 11 people dead, and this motherfucker is probably still running around loose, and a lot of people don't know about the case. So apparently the book by Robert Colker, which I haven't read, but from what I could gather, the book is like docufiction, kind of like it's based on the real story, but it's a little bit fictionalized, and this like the way it's written narratively. Now, the book focuses a lot more like on each one of the victims. The movie, which is directed by Liz Garbus, focuses on Shannon Gilbert's family specifically, which I guess that's the thing to do if you are going to adapt like a book to a movie. You kind of have to focus it on one thing. And I guess Shannon Gilbert would have been the best one to do because it was her going missing that made the authorities find all the other bodies. You know what I'm saying? Because
Yeah.
remember, she was the one who the Long Island serial killer, if you guys don't know, he's also known as the Gilgo Beach killer, the Craigslist killer, all this other kind of stuff. So it appears that whoever this person or persons is has been contacting sex workers on Craigslist and then killing them. So, you know, the fact that Shannon Gilbert disappeared, you know, she went to Oak Beach and she was working as an escort, presumably, and she went there with her driver, Michael Pack. And then she like freaked out and was like running around to the other houses on there, like saying they're trying to kill me and all this other kind of shit. And then she went missing and they didn't find her for like a year.
She said they, huh?
Yeah.
So it's more than one.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Now I'm going to say, if you don't know about this case or anything like that, and if you're just watching this like as a movie, obviously because the case is unsolved, you know, the ending is probably not going to be very satisfying because, spoiler alert, they still don't know who this serial killer is or, you know, who is doing this to all these women. But the point of the movie was to kind of focus on, you know, Shannon's family, particularly her mother, Mary Gilbert, who was a very complicated character, but who was sort of instrumental in getting the authorities to get off their asses and actually try to investigate this case. And from what I know about the case, because like I said, we did a show about it like not too long ago, and this is fairly factually accurate as far as I can recall, but it really took a lot of goading for the police to really take any of these cases very seriously. You know, once, even though, like I said, they didn't find Shannon until like a year after she went missing. And in the interim, they had found like a whole bunch of other bodies. And for a long time, there's still controversy over whether Shannon just died in an accident or whether her body was, you know, her murder or whatever was related to the other ones, which I suspect that it probably was because, you know, that seems kind of far-fetched to like think that there were all these bodies like in one particular area turning up dead and like, oh, one of them was it. Yeah, it's possible, but I'm not buying it. But so the thing that's fictionalized in this movie, it, you know, the cops are going to make you very, very mad. Like Gabriel Byrne is in this, you know, and he plays the commissioner and he's kind of sympathetic. Like you can kind of see where he's coming from. He's at least like more sympathetic than some of the other cops who are just like, who cares? They're hookers. Like pretty much basically. But as I said, this is based in reality. And that's kind of like the whole point of the movie is that Mary Gilbert, Shannon Gilbert's mother, had to pretty much like constantly harangue them and her and the, you know, mothers of the other victims as well, to get them to do anything, because since these were sex workers, they weren't really taking it seriously. They weren't really coming out to the media and say, yes, it's a serial killer. And I don't even know if they've even done that now. Like, I guess they do now, but so yeah, it's a really good movie. It's like I said, it's more a character study or like a drama, mostly based around Mary Gilbert's character. And I like that they kind of had the balls to portray her accurately in the sense that she's not necessarily a real likable person, but her heart's in the right place and you know why she's doing what she's doing and you can relate to her doing that because her daughter went missing and she feels like nobody gives a shit about it. So, you know, even though she's very abrasive and she's very rude and things like that, but you know, you kind of understand where she's coming from. Now, the interesting thing is that this focuses very much on the year where Shannon was missing and her kind of like, you know, crusade to get the case taken more seriously. So it doesn't go into, and if you've watched our show about this Long Island serial killer, you know that this had like a horrifying conclusion as far as Mary Gilbert was concerned. They don't really go into that. It's just kind of like, a little, text thing at the end is like, oh, by the way, a few years after these, after Shannon went missing and after, you know, the investigation started and stuff like that, one of Mary's other daughter, who is portrayed in this movie as like a younger girl, murdered her mom. Damn. Because she had mental health issues, which they do address. You know, they show the character having like a lot of mental issues and like being on medication that they're not sure it's working. And, you know, they're kind of a poor working class family. So she's, you know, the single mother is like kind of stressing out because she's like, she knows the daughter needs help and she can't afford to help her and all this other kind of stuff. So yeah, that's how that turned out. But like I said, that's, you know, that's not really the focus of the story. They do tell you that at the end, but it's not, they don't really like dramatize it or anything. But yeah, if you really like true crime stuff and you're not concerned about this not having like a neat pat conclusion, because like I said, this is very much based on a true story. The director, Liz Garbus, I believe this is the first movie she's directed. She's normally a documentary director. But this is it's a nice looking movie. The acting is all really good. And it's like just a really intriguing mystery story. Even though if you already know the details of the case, which I did, I still think it was like a really, I don't want to say entertaining because that seems like a weird word to use for this subject matter. But if you like true crime stuff, you definitely should check this out because it's definitely one of the better ones that Netflix has made. So I would definitely recommend it. All right. Now, the second thing was also on Netflix, and this is kind of an interesting. I hadn't seen like a lot of people talking about this one, but I actually ended up digging it a lot. This is actually a series. It's called Blood Ride. Now, this is a Norwegian horror thriller anthology series, kind of like Creepshow or The Twilight Zone or something like that. You don't have to watch them in order because they're all just like completely different stories and they're not related. The nice thing about it is that it's 6 episodes. And the episodes are only like 30 minutes or maybe like a little bit shorter. So you can easily like binge this in one evening, which I did.
Yeah.
And I ended up, I have to say, and maybe this is a bold statement, but I have to say that a lot of the episodes of this, I liked better than some of the episodes of Creepshow. You know what I mean?
I was watching it whether they were competently done. I liked them. It's subtitled.
Yeah, obviously. Which, you know, it's Norwegian.
A lot of times if I'm going to watch a foreign film, I want them to be subtitled. I want them to be in the original language.
Yeah, because I can't stand dubbing.
Dubbing fucking sucks. the only thing I could say against this is that they weren't very colorful. Like Trick or Treat was a real colorful looking movie.
Yeah, yeah.
They're kind of modern-y looking and kind of Spartan. But they're good stories. I guess you could say they're kind of like Black Mirror.
I was thinking that too. It's kind of like looks. Black Mirror, but not as high tech as that, like not as right. Sci-fi as that.
Black Mirror meets Twilight Zone.
Yeah, with a little bit of Creepshow thrown in. Yeah. Because some of it did have like some gore and have some horror elements. Probably more thriller based. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of them, maybe all of them now that I'm thinking about it, had sort of twist endings or like surprised endings. Now, some people have criticized, they said, oh, well, like a lot of them, they could see the endings coming. I think one of them, I knew how it was going to end. I was like, oh, this is probably going to be this, that, and the other. But the other ones, I didn't really see where it was going because I was just kind of like watching them and enjoying them and having a good time. And I wasn't really like worried about trying to be too clever.
The one that I thought was hilarious, one about letting the monkey out the box and fucking the guys were singing. And that was, yeah. I was just going, what the? Norwegian guys singing in English this fucking ridiculous song about letting the monkey out of the box because the monkey wants to. How did it go? Do you remember?
I can't remember.
I just started busting up every time he fucking. And that,
yeah, because he did it a bunch of times.
They eventually ended up stabbing a bunch of people. So they were letting the monkey out of the box.
Obviously.
Yeah, they were letting the monkey out of the box.
But yeah, so they call it Blood Ride because I guess you call it a wraparound, even though it doesn't like have a plot of its own or it doesn't like relate to anything else in the series, really. It's just kind of like a, you know, like a little pre-credit kind of thing. But it's just like, it's this creepy bus. And then like all of the people that are in all the episodes are on the bus. Like, you know what I mean? And then there's like a creepy driver like looking in the mirror. And then it's kind of cool because like each episode, it shows like all the people on the bus, like all the people that are in all 6 episodes. But then like it's the same, but then there's like a couple seconds of, oh, this is the one that it's going to focus on this time. Like I said, the wraparound doesn't really have anything to do with the rest of the thing. It's just kind of like an introductory kind of thing. Like I'm presuming because they're like riding the bus to hell or the afterlife or whatever it is they're doing because they're, you know, mostly dead people or whatever. But I just, you know, I just liked that little segment. It was just like a nice little thing, but it doesn't have anything to do with the stories. So these are 6 episodes. Now, the first one is called The Ultimate Sacrifice, and it's about this family who move out. I guess they lived in the big city, and the woman burned through all of their savings or like maxed out all their credit cards or whatever. So they've been forced to kind of move to this house, like sort of out in the middle of nowhere. So she's not happy about it. So they go out there and their neighbors are very Stepfordy. Let's say that. They're also like super overly friendly and stuff. And you know that some creepy shit is going on. And the wife is like, yeah, this is creepy. And the husband's like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. It's not creepy in the slightest, even though it totally is creepy. So, this one is, I liked this one a lot, but one, the main character, the wife, is really unlikable. So in the sense, in that sense, it's kind of like Creepshow because it's almost kind of like shitty characters, like, getting their just desserts, kind of. Not all of them are like that, but a lot of them are. So it does definitely have that kind of, like, you know, you're getting what you deserve type of thing. Because she sucks. She's, like, yeah, a terrible person. I will say that I'm not going to, like, spoil all these. I'm just kind of giving a very broad outline. The very first one, if you have trouble watching animal cruelty or, like, bad things happening to animals, might want to skip this one.
Yeah, but it's not graphic, though.
It's not graphic, but just thinking about it is kind of upsetting. You know what I mean? I was kind of upset.
That was the point of the movie, though.
Yeah, yeah.
She was a bitch.
Yeah, she was a terrible, terrible person. Because I like that.
It was kind of an animal rights thing. If you'll do it to an animal, you'll do it to a person. That was kind of.
Yeah, it just went to show. And right. The thing about it is that, you know, maybe the only thing, because I guess she was kind of a shitty person from the beginning, because they did hint that, one, she was bitching about having to move out to the country, even though she was the one that spent all their money and necessitated them moving out to the country. So it was kind of her fault. So she didn't really have any cause to, like, bitch about it. But then the fact that she just immediately, like, found out this thing that happens in this town that you have to do something horrible, like, to get, and she was just like, okay, I'm on board. Like, she didn't hardly think about it. And it's, but you know what I mean? But I guess they kind of had to do that because, you know, these episodes are only like 26, 27 minutes long. So they can't, like, dick around or her, like, thinking, maybe we should do that or anything, because they kind of established that she's kind of a shitheel, like, from the very beginning. So, like I said, I really, really liked that first one. But yeah, if you don't like watching, even though it's not graphic, but if you don't even like the idea of animals like pets and stuff like that getting hurt, then probably you don't want to watch that one because it's going to upset you a lot. So the second one is called Three Sick Brothers. And this was a guy who just got out of the mental asylum for what it is at first an undisclosed illness. But they're saying, oh, he's sane now so he can get out. So they just kind of show him and he's just moving back in his apartment and his mom is checking on him and everything's fine. Then his two brothers show up, one of whom is the aforementioned letting the monkey out of the box guy, who I think his name is Otto.
Yeah.
Who's like crazy party animal dude.
Yeah.
And they eventually convince him to go out to their father's cabin, like out in the middle of the woods, because I guess their mom is going to sell it and their father is dead and they want to have like one last party at this cabin, like, before it's not in their family anymore. So they finally, like, harangue this poor guy, even though the guy is just, like, you know, his psychiatrist is told him, like, hey, you should, like, not get stressed out and not hang out with, you know, and, you know, try to kind of, like, keep to yourself and everything. But eventually they convince him to go out there. They, like, pick up a girl. They do, like, all this. They start drinking and doing all this crazy shit. And bad things ensue. Although this one, the way this one ended up, this went in a total direction that I wasn't expecting. Like, and this is what I mean by saying that a lot of them have twist endings. The first one, you could kind of see where that was going. You know what I mean? Like, once the rules of the story were established, you were just kind of like, oh, well, I bet that X, Y, and Z is going to happen. So it wasn't, like, unexpected. This one, I wasn't expecting it to go in the direction that it went in. Maybe some people who are maybe smarter than me, like, figured it out. But it's just, I wasn't thinking along those lines. So I didn't expect it to go that way. I don't know if this was my favorite or not. This might have been my second favorite. I'm not sure. It's hard to say. I really liked them all. And the cool thing is, I don't know if they were all written by the same people, because I think it was like a team of like two people that put this together. So they might have written all the stories, but they're really different. Like a lot of them are really, so it's kind of cool. You get like a lot of variety, kind of like Creepshow. So yeah, then the third one is called Bad Writer. This one seemed to me the most like a Black Mirror episode because it has to do with this girl who's in a writing class, and then, but you find out, and you pretty much know from the beginning that she's a character in someone else's story. You know what I mean? Because even at the beginning, they kind of just show her being like super perfect, just like a bad writer would write a character, you know, who was like super awesome because they were like putting themselves in the story. So you cut, but this one also kind of went in a way that I didn't expect. And it kind of, it reminded me of, and I can't remember what that fucking, I usually don't like Will Ferrell, but he was in a movie where he was a character in Emma Thompson's story. And I can't fucking remember the name of it, but it reminded me of that, but with a horror element on top of it. So that was a good one too. The fourth one was called Lab Rats. This one was probably my favorite if I had to pick. This is basically just like this shitty guy that runs a company. I think it's like a pharmaceutical company, and they have a prototype of some new thing, and he has a dinner party for all of his like most trusted employees. And it turns out that someone has stolen the prototype. So it's kind of like this really tense, like locked room kind of drama where he's trying to figure out who it was that stole it. And that also predictably goes horribly wrong. But that one was probably my favorite because it had like the most suspense and stuff. Then there was one called Old School, which was pretty much like a straight up ghost story. You know, where a woman comes to teach at like an old school that they just reopened, and she starts seeing people that aren't there, and you know, that there's these kids and stuff. This one also had a twist, but I guessed what the twist was going to be, which I imagine most people probably would, but it was still good. It was still creepy. And then the last one was called Elephant in the Room, which this was probably my least favorite, although I did like it. It was just kind of like this work party where for some reason it was like a costume party, and everyone was dressed up like animals, and then there was like some kind of thing about two new employees, and they were talking about like this one employee that had been there and had fallen off a balcony or something like that, and they're trying to like, you know, sleuth and like see what happens because they feel like some of the other employees in the company like know what happened. So they're trying, like at this work party, they're trying to figure out like what happened to this woman and who was responsible for it. So it was still good, but it was probably my least favorite if I had to pick one. Now another thing too is that, just much like Creepshow, these are kind of like, I don't think I'd call them straight horror comedy, but there is a lot of dark humor in them. So keep that in mind too, like as you watch it. Yeah. But it's honestly, I really enjoyed this a lot. And like I said, it's a quick binge. It only takes like a little bit less than 3 hours to watch all of them. And you don't have to watch them in any particular order. There's one that's boring, you just skip it and go to the next one. But I'm kind of digging these horror anthology type of things. I love that kind of shit.
Yeah, so, they were good.
Yeah, so more of this, please. So yeah, so if you're into horror anthologies, check it out. If you don't mind reading subtitles, because it's in Norwegian. Okay, third one we saw this week. I've been wanting to see this one for a long time. It came out in 2019, I believe in September. But Shudder just now added it. This is Satanic Panic.
Yeah, this one actually for this week stood out to me. I like this one the best.
I did as well. I had a fucking blast with this one.
This is a good movie.
Yeah, and it seems to be getting like, you know, mixed to positive reviews, which I can get. Now, this is very much a horror comedy.
Yeah.
It's directed by Chelsea Stardust. This might be her first, or at least her feature-length debut. I believe she was, she worked on a lot of different horror movies, like on The Crew and stuff like that, like on the production crew. But I think this is her first directorial thing. And it's based on a story by Grady Hendrix, who I think is a novelist. He doesn't usually write screenplays that I know of. But yeah, so this is basically, this is about a girl named Sam, and she just started delivering pizzas for this place called Home Run Pizza.
Yeah.
And she...
Now hold on, the tone of this movie, if this movie had come out back in the day, Jeffrey Combs would have been in this movie.
This definitely does feel like something that is right in his wheelhouse.
I'm just going to try to put that in your mind first, all right? This is kind of, to me, kind of like a classic throwback type movie.
Yeah.
A horror comedy. It's got funny shit that happens into it, but some of the shit's really fucking gross. And you're like, what the hell's going on? What are these people doing? It's about a bunch of fucking Satanists And these Satanists are like regular fucking annoying ass rich people. And it's just, it's fucking, it's kind of hilarious. It is hilarious when it's supposed to be. But it's also kind of disturbing in a weird way. It worked. It worked for me. I liked it. I liked the tone.
It reminded me of an updated version of Society, the Brian Yuzna
movie. Yeah.
It reminded me, it's not quite as gory as that, but it's pretty gory.
And it's all practical effects, too.
And it's all practical effects. I don't think there was any CGI in this.
No.
Fangoria Magazine was one of the producers on this as well.
Yeah, good. And it's got a good score, good soundtrack. It's got some music in there. It's fucking pretty good. I was like, man, that sounds good.
I think Wolfmen from Mars did some of the songs. I don't know if they did all the score and stuff as well, but I really, really like the music.
It's not a real corporate movie. It's not real sanitary in the way that it fucking is portrayed to you. You can tell that this is a movie that was made with fucking soul. The movie's got fucking heart.
Like I said, the woman who directed it, you can tell she's a horror person because she's worked on a lot of other horror movies. This is just the first one she's directed. And you can tell that, whoever made this is having a good time.
Yeah. And like also,
they know they're a cult shit because a lot of the stuff that the satanic cults do, a lot of the stuff that they say and the demons and everything is pretty accurate.
Demons, they're pretty good demon costumes. I'm telling you, it's like the practical effects are, for me, they're the way to go. I mean,
they're always going to look good. I mean, if you do them right the first time, that's never going to date. It's never going to be like old CGI that looks like shit now.
And it doesn't look real. It's not supposed to.
Yeah.
This is a well-made B movie that's entertaining you and showing you some fucking cool shit. It's special effects on the level like Trick or Treat or something.
I think they're a little bit better than that.
It's like an old Jeffrey Combs movie.
He definitely did. Yeah, like during near the climax of this movie, he's like, I feel like Jeffrey Combs should be in this.
Yeah, so Jeffrey Combs will step out any minute.
It's just this poor little pizza delivery woman ends up going to this humongous mansion and delivering all these pizzas. This is her first night on the job, and she doesn't have enough money for gas to get back on her Vespa. And the rich asshole who opens the door, of course, doesn't give her a tip because you know how they do. And so she is just going to leave it, but then she's like, man, I need at least $5, to put gas in my Vespa, to go home. So she decides she's going to, go into the house, and she, finds an unlocked door and goes in the house. And
to get her tip.
Yeah. To get her tip, because she's like, hey, why don't you guys just, pool all your money? Because one of the other pizza guys told her, it's like, hey, I went in there and, got them all to pass the hat around.
He tells this fucking
story. That guy was in it for a minute. He was so fucking funny.
I can't. I don't want to steal that dude's thunder. But he tells an accurate description of what it was like for him to be in a damn orgy. And this shit's fucking hilarious, man.
It's just, there's a lot of really funny shit in this.
Yeah.
So it's, so she ends up.
Some of the sounds is ad-libbed, which is even better.
Yeah, which it might not be, but it's like, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
But so this poor pizza delivery girl ends up in the middle of essentially a big satanic ritual. And once they find out she's a virgin, they start coming after her because she's going to be the sacrifice and whatever. So it's like, I have to give a shout out to Rebecca Roman, who, she's fairly famous. And she plays the Danica, who's the leader of the cult. She is great. She plays a great fucking villain. Because the thing about it is these are all Satanists, but they're all really wealthy people too. So they have these fantastic red robes and all their makeup and manicures are all perfect and stuff. And they're all super bitchy Karen types.
Yeah.
And they're all trying to there's power struggles in between her and this other woman called Gypsy.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of petty shit happening.
Yeah, and it's super
fun.
Bitchy. And it's just
Eventually at the end, it's something off of a damn Iron Maiden album cover with all the fucking Satanists dancing half nude or nude and shit. They hit every fucking point.
I really, really did like this. And there's just there's just some crazy shit in this. It's like I said, the gore is, it's all practical effects.
Yeah.
I mean, you just see fucking, they're baking a fucking heart into a thing. It's like somebody sticks their hand in somebody's neck and
pulls
shit out.
It's a heart and a soul all at the same.
I think it's a soul.
It's a soul.
Somebody somebody pulls out someone's intestines through their mouth. It's there's a really interesting drill sex toy hybrid.
Yeah, what do you call it? Thing. She called it a dill.
A kildo?
A drill-do.
A drill-do or a kildo.
Drill-do or something. It's like, it's fucking hilarious.
And it's just like, I love that it's like those two characters are only in it for like a minute or something like that. But it's just like, it's just had these great gags, like all of the you know, kind of the interaction between all the characters, like all the Satanists, like all their bitchy squabbling. And then, you know, Sam, the pizza delivery girl, who ends up meeting up and like teaming up with one of the, I guess the leader of the satanic cult, I guess her daughter. So I guess they end up teaming up. Now, here's the thing. We were watching this movie and the woman that plays Judy, who is, the friend that she hooks up with, we were like, God damn it. We just saw her in something recently. Who the hell is that? She was in the Happy Death Day movies.
Okay, yeah.
That's where we saw her. Yeah. So we just saw Happy Death Day to you like a few months ago.
The edit on the movie is really good. There's no slow spots.
Yeah. The pacing at the end, like during the orgy, is a little weird. But it's like, other than that, it didn't really bother me.
For me, I think the movie set up a tone of where you start to forgive movie for any kind of little shortcomings because you're having fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this is not a serious movie.
It's
an entertainment movie.
Yeah.
And it's you can tell that, you know, they understand the genre and this is for people that fucking like this type of movie.
Yeah.
And you know, which is for me, I think that's the spirit of those old fashioned horror movies.
Yeah, it definitely did remind me of like an 80s horror comedy.
Like a really well made, low budget 80s.
Yeah.
Like I said, like a Jeffrey Combs movie.
Yeah. Or like, it reminded me of Society. Like, thematically, it reminded me of Society. Yeah. And the fact that it was like gory, but also like funny and like real over the top funny.
And then a whole bunch of satanic fucking tropes and shit. Stereotypes. Really good.
Yeah. It's just, I had a lot of fun with this one. Like I said, it's been getting to like mixed to good reviews. Some people had some issues with the pacing and stuff like that, but I didn't really have any issues with that. I thought it was a fucking blast.
Yeah.
From start to finish. Just really funny, really gory. Just a good fucking time. You know what I mean? So Shudder has it. I read something on the Wikipedia page, which I thought was very funny, that apparently when they started selling the Blu-ray of this movie in Walmart, they took the word satanic off the cover for the ones that they sold in Walmart.
Weird.
What does it just say? Panic?
Panic, yeah.
Or like a, you know, can they even put a pentagram on there? I guess not. I don't think Walmart would allow a pentagram.
That's ridiculous.
I didn't know they still did that.
Especially for a horror movie.
Like that Walmart
in a
just...
comedy horror movie.
So you can't even say satanic in a fucking...
What would you say those...
That's crazy.
Those practical effects were probably on... Some of it reminded me... Remember Naked Lunch? Some of the stuff reminded me like something out of Naked Lunch. The demon costumes kind of reminded me of something kind of out of... Remember the Guyver?
Yeah, I remember that.
The Guyver, kind of like that. It was good, though, man. I was having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jerry O'Connell's in this, too. Like, just briefly. Him and Rebecca Roman are married in real life. I didn't actually know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
It's got cute girls in it.
Yeah, it's cute girls, great gore, like I said. Yeah. I think my favorite thing was that guy getting his intestines pulled out of his mouth.
Yeah.
That was pretty rad.
And, you know, they're constantly trying to show or trying to set up some new, trying to set up some kind of situation in the story to show off some kind of gag they're going to do. Like, you know, somebody drowning while not being in water or somebody's intestines getting pulled out or cooking somebody's soul heart or heart and soul. I don't know what it is. And it turns into a damn flying monster. It's just, like I said, it was just like fucking off the wall. I expected Jeffrey Combs to step in all of a sudden and go, you know, what's going on here? You know, something like that, you know?
He should have been one of the Satanists.
They should have brought Jeffrey Combs in on
this. Or he would have been good as like the other creepy pizza employee too.
Something. He just, like, just he have him in there somewhere.
Also. He definitely did need to be in this.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you have...
I don't know how old Jeffrey Combs is now.
Yeah, I don't know either.
He might be 70 by now, huh?
God, is he that old?
That's weird, isn't it?
We're so old.
We're getting old, yeah.
But yeah, if you have Shudder, they just added this like yesterday or the day before, and I was really excited because I've been wanting to see this. I knew it came out like a while back, but I hadn't got around to seeing it because I always wait till it comes to streaming. Unless I really, really want to buy it. Or you can buy it, you know. I'm sure you can rent it somewhere too. But if you really like horror comedy, especially like throwback type of stuff, it's just, It's just really fun, great practical effects, really colorful, like all the costumes and shit like that are really good. Great score, good music. You know, just a fucking fun-ass movie, so...